All right, but today I have an early Christmas gift for all of you. Are you guys ready? It is wrapped. I started this sentence. I didn't know how I was going to end it. It is wrapped in some of the most beautiful plaid you've ever seen. I can't even look over here. Are you guys ready for a great Christmas gift? I'm going to need a little more participation. Y'all have been really quiet this morning. I feel like the adults were setting a bad example for what it looks like to be excited in the Lord for all of the kids joining us today. Are you guys ready for your Christmas present this morning? Well, it is my honor and privilege to introduce to you our guest, although he's not really a guest, our guest speaker for the day. There's your Christmas present. Our one and only amazing man of God worship leader, Don Miller. Would you stand to your feet? Would you stand to your feet and welcome Don? Yeah. Hey, while you're standing, in all sincerity, I'm having a little fun because mostly at Don's expense. Would you stretch your hands toward Don and let's pray for him this morning. Father God, we just thank you so much today for this man of God, the anointing that you've placed on him and his family. And we just pray over the next few moments, God, that preaching will come easier than it's ever come before. Lord, as you speak to him and through him, let us receive the word of God today and may it produce a harvest beyond anything we could have ever imagined. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen.
Well, good morning. Did everyone enjoy Thanksgiving? Show of hands, who ate too much? Whew. Man, the Lord, well, you guys just confirmed. I'm going to speak on gluttony today. Just kidding. I told Pastor Drew, if you don't know, I was out last week. There's a church plant opening up in Lenore City. And they asked me if I would to please come and just kind of be a secret shopper, just to see how they're doing with greeting and the worship team and all the stuff. So I got to be there last Sunday, and I missed you guys. I got done with service. Now, their service started at 10, and they got out at 11. And, I mean, it was quick. I mean, it was, let's go. And so I was like, you know, I was on the way home. I was like, let me see where we're at. In our service, and the service got over at 11:30, and I said, I wasn't there. The service gets over at 11:30, and so I told Pastor Drew, I said, well, the church is in for, you know, a treat. There's going to be two Sundays in a row where we are out by 11:30, so here we go. I feel like the Lord has given me a message. I've been working on this for a little bit. I'm going to talk this morning for a little bit about Elijah. It seems like Elijah's a prophet. I can relate to him a little better than I can some of the others, because Elijah was mightily used of God, but he also struggled with depression and anxiety and suicide. Like, he struggled with some really heavy, hard-hitting things, but was still used by the Lord. If you don't know, I'm going to just do a little synopsis of this. Elijah declared a drought. A little bit about Elijah. Elijah declared a drought to punish Israel's idolatry, which would last until he commanded it to end. God then had him hide by a brook where ravens brought him food. When the brook dried up, God sent him to Zarephath to be cared for by a widow, where God replenished her flour and oil and later resurrected her son. Elijah challenged the 450 prophets of Baal to a contest on Mount Carmel to see which god could send fire to consume a sacrifice. The prophets of Baal failed, but Elijah's prayer to God was answered with fire from heaven, which even ignited the water-drenched altar. Following this, Elijah ordered the slaughter of the prophets of Baal. He outran horses. The scripture says that the Lord gave him supernatural strength to where he could outrun horses. Although rain returned to the end of the drought, the queen, which his name was Jezebel, remained furious and threatened Elijah's life. And terrified, Elijah fled and prayed for death, feeling like a failure. But God instead sent an angel to give him food and strength for a 40-day journey to Mount Horeb, or maybe Mount Sinai. So this is where we're going to start our reading. This has happened. Scripture is 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. It says, there he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? God, I thank you, Lord, that you would give me the opportunity to speak to my family today. God, I ask, oh Lord, that you anoint my words, that it penetrates hearts. I don't think this word was just for me, but I think it is for others in this room too, Lord. So I ask that we receive whatever you have for us this morning. God, that you help me do a really good job, and that just we're blessed this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you, have you ever felt like you were in a cave? Have you ever felt like if I was to draw or hit all the check marks, I'm doing everything good. I'm praying like I should. I'm fasting like I should. I am doing everything well. But for some reason, I feel alone. I feel isolated. I'm struggling with depression. Can I be real with you? There has been multiple Sundays. I'm just going to be transparent. You guys know that. There's been multiple Sundays after leading worship where the Lord will give me a word of prophecy for someone that I've spoken to someone, which if we go off of a grade would be like, man, you're doing great. The Lord is mightily using you. Just to go home and sit on the couch and go, I'm all by myself. No one really knows what's going on down deep. I feel alone. I feel afraid. And the enemy will use a spirit of Jezebel to go, I'm going to kill you. You're going to leave your children fatherless. Your family doesn't really love you. No one loves you. They don't know the real you. Just all of those. And on the outside, you're doing all the things right. So my first point is, the cave is a real place. It's a place of exhaustion. Elijah had outrun horses. He had confronted Jezebel. He fought spiritual battles, and then he collapsed because she said, I'll have you killed. The cave is also a place of isolation. 1 Kings 19 and 3 says that Elijah left his servants in Beersheba. The cave is where you feel like no one understands me. The cave is a place that will tell you that you're all alone, that no one cares. You'll begin to exaggerate. You'll begin to create false narratives in your mind. That's what Elijah did. But what I'm so thankful for is that God doesn't condemn you for being in the cave. He meets you there. Which goes to point number two. The cave reveals what's inside. The cave reveals what's inside. God's first question to Elijah wasn't about his enemies. It wasn't about his struggles. Because let's just be honest, God already knew. But it was about Elijah's heart. God said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And this is something that Elijah does that I think sometimes we don't do. Elijah, in verse 10, Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Remember when I said the enemy will put false narratives? There was over 100 prophets being hidden in caves. But because of where he was at in a cave, that became his reality. But in the cave, God confronts what really is going on inside of us. The fear, the disappointment, the burnout, the loneliness. It's in those quiet, dark spaces that God can finally get our attention. But this is where I think we miss it sometimes, because we look at God as like this scary being on a mountaintop that is going to strike us down if we don't come with honesty. He already knows your heart. He knew Elijah's heart. He knew what Elijah was struggling with. So he asked him, "What are you doing here?" And where we fall short is we don't tell him the truth. We try to sugarcoat it. "God, if it's your will." And sometimes, you can, I'll just tell you, you can go, "God, I'm angry. I don't understand why you're allowing this to happen in my life. What makes me frustrated with you sometimes, Lord, is I know that you can. And in this moment, you're choosing not to." But the cave, let me encourage you with this, the cave isn't punishment. The cave you're in isn't punishment. It's preparation. Point number three, the cave is where you learn to hear differently. The cave is where you learn to hear differently. Verses 11 and 12, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. "And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. God showed Elijah a wind, an earthquake, and a fire, but he wasn't in any of them. But then came a still, small voice." You see, Elijah had already seen God move in fire before. He had seen God move with a mighty wind. He had felt a supernatural strength come upon him to outrun the chariot. But now he has to learn to recognize God's presence in a new way. A whisper. Can I tell you that when you're in the cave, God may not move how he used to, or the way that you think that he should. What if God, just possibly, what if God is trying to teach us to listen to him in a new way? Or better yet, maybe it's in an old way that we have forgotten. The Lord spoke to me in September. I was in prayer. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "Don, my people need to tear down their idols and rebuild their altars." And that stuck. That has stuck with me. Pastor Drew, a couple weeks ago, kind of spoke on that. We're going to build altars. We're not building memorials. We're building altars. And I think that's what we need to do, church. It's time to destroy the idols and rebuild the altars. Because if you're in a cave this morning, you're not alone. The Lord is in the cave with you. And if you're not hearing him, it's not because he's not talking. It's because you're distracted. You're distracted. What feels like silence may actually be God wanting you to bring all attention and all focus on him. After Elijah heard God's voice, God sent him back out with new instruction and a new mission. Told you guys, we're going to be quick. I'm on my last point already. Boom. God sent him back out with a new instruction and a new mission. Point number four, the cave is not the end. It's the turning point. The cave is not the end. It's the turning point. The cave wasn't Elijah's final resting place, as it's not your final resting place. It was his reset point. The cave is where callings can get renewed. The cave is where callings can get restored. Elijah goes on and he anoints a new prophet whose name is Elijah. Pretty nifty. Elijah asked for a double portion of the anointing. In 2 Kings, it says that Elijah did double the miracles that are recorded, that he did over double the miracles of Elijah. Elijah also anointed the king that would kill Jezebel. He did a lot of crazy things. But the one thing that was really cool about Elijah, he never struggled. We don't see anywhere in Scripture where he struggled with depression or anxiety or suicide. Maybe you coming out of the cave will help the next generation. Maybe it'll help the next generation. The cave is not the end. If you let it, it can be the turning point. If you let it, it can be the turning point. Man, this is quick. I'm so sorry, guys. No, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. This is a short message, but it's good. If everyone would stand. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands in just a minute if you feel like you're in a cave in the moment. But here's a couple things that I, while reading this, that I noticed. And this is something I'm going to tell you. Like, for the longest time, and I grew up in church. I thought I knew this story. For the longest time, I thought that God put Elijah in the cave. When I would, like, encourage people, I would say that. Like, sometimes the Lord puts you in a cave. That's not what happened. Elijah put himself in the cave. Elijah put himself in the cave. At some point of being the Lord working through him, I can only imagine at some point, maybe he got disconnected from the vine. That's the only thing I can think of like why he would start to battle depression and anxiety. He had seen all of these miracles. He had seen God use him in so many miraculous ways. And all it took was someone saying, I'm going to kill you, for him to go, I'm out. I'm going to take off running. And he ends up in a cave. Can I tell you, God hasn't put you in a cave. If you're in a cave this morning, you've put yourself there. I love you. Because I put myself in a cave too. The scripture says that Elijah was in the cave for one day, for one night. But here's the sad reality for most of us. We've taken up residence in the cave. We've put in furniture. We've put in furniture. We've put in the TV. We've put in the kitchen. The smoker's sitting right outside of the cave, right? The cave has become our identity. I'm an anxious person. I'm just always depressed, full of fear. I don't understand why God hasn't moved in the way that I think he should move. And I have just found safety in the cave. But God is trying to call us out this morning. God is trying to call you out this morning. God is asking, what are you doing here? God is asking, what are you doing here? I've called you for so much. I have put callings on you, to be the best employee you can at work, that you can share the gospel, that the gifts of prophecy can be used in your workplace. And instead, you're sitting in a cave. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is asking that question to some of you right now. What are you doing? What are you doing? I have called you for so much. And you've been living in a cave. Some of us have been in a cave for a month or two. Some of you have been in caves for years. But God is calling you out this morning. And he's saying, come out. Get out of the cave, because I have more work for you to do. So I'm just going to ask, with a show of hands, no eyes closed, because we're all family here. Do you feel like you're in a cave right now? I see hands all over. I'm going to ask the altar team if they'll come up. And for the ones that raised their hands, I'm going to ask you to be bold and step out of your seat and ask these workers to pray with you. And I'm going to ask the altar workers, ask the question. What are you trying to come out of? We're family. We have to be real about this. The Lord asked him, said, what are you doing in a cave? And Elijah spoke honestly to the Lord. And because of that, the Lord showed him something different in a new way that he had never seen. Can I tell you, God knows where you are, and that God will meet you there. But more importantly, God will not leave you there. I'm not going to prolong and push for more people to come up. But just for a few moments, if you can, turn Amanda's guitar up. We're just going to have some music playing. No singing. Just music playing for a few minutes. If you haven't come up, maybe because you're questioning, that's okay. That's okay. Just ask the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak into your heart. If you're not a part of the altar team, but you feel a burden for someone who is up here, I encourage you to come up and stand behind them as a show of support that you're not in a cave alone. That you're not in a cave alone.
Scripture says in Isaiah 40, look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. Is there an amen in the house for the word of the Lord? Amen. Amen, amen. I want to ask everyone, if you would, to stand. Everyone, and if you're still praying, please don't stop. Don't stop. But if you can stand, please stand. Donnie, are you playing a song that we could sing together to mark this time? Let's just take a few moments and worship the Lord together again.
I'm caught up in your presence. Well, I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. Oh, I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry, but I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Oh, I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry. I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you.
Come on, can we lift our hands as we continue to sing it out?
I'm caught up in your presence. Oh, I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I just want you and nothing else, and nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you nothing else will do. I just want you, and nothing else, Jesus, nothing else will do. I just want you, and nothing else, nothing else will do. I'm caught up in your presence. Oh, I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you.
Thank you, Don, for sharing your heart with us this morning. Can we thank Don? We appreciate you. It was a great word. I want to pray over you, Lifehouse. The Lord actually put something in my heart to pray over you today throughout this week. And I know what I'm about to say will possibly sound rather generic, but I hope it doesn't. I know that Thanksgiving and Christmas, this holiday season, can provoke a lot of different emotions, and they're not all positive. From people who used to sit at the table who are no longer with us, to relationships that have become strained, to financial burdens and potential fearful situations. But I want to pray over you today, and again, this will sound generic, but I believe the Lord is in it, that the next month will be a month not necessarily because of external circumstances, but because of the internal work of the Lord in your life, a month filled with the peace of God that truly does pass understanding and logic, and joy that is straight from the throne room of heaven. And so if you would you, and I know we do this a lot, but if you would just kind of put your hands in a receiving posture. You're not receiving from me. You're not even receiving anything physically, but just sometimes what we do in the physical will correlate to the spiritual. But I just want to believe the Lord for you today. Father, thank you so much for this body of believers. God, thank you so much for the diversity in the room. Lord, from backgrounds and skin color to socioeconomic statuses, Lord, that we from all different areas of the country and even world are able to gather here together today to worship the King and to receive from you, Jesus. Today, God, we come to you with surrendered hearts and minds. And Lord, we really do want just you. God, we don't know all the things that you know. We don't understand all the things that you understand. So, Father, we do our very best to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and trust that all of the things, the details, the periphery, Lord, that you'll take care of those things. And, Father, with hands open to receive both physically and spiritually, we come to you today, Lord, as sons and daughters of the King, not slaves and servants, not orphans, but Lord, we declare and we understand that through the sacrifice of Jesus, we come to you not with a beggar's mentality, but Lord, as a child who would come to a good father. And Father, I pray over every single person in this room, from the youngest baby to the oldest senior saint, that the next month would be a month of joy. Not joy that is based on the gifts or the external, but Lord, joy that is based on the internal transforming work of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that the next month would be a month of peace. Lord, not the kind of peace that this world offers, because we recognize that the peace this world offers, it is circumstantial and it can come and it can go. But God, I pray for peace that passes understanding, peace that is rooted in the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. Peace, God, that will come into our hearts and minds and take up residence. And according to your word, it says it will set up a guard around us. And Father, when the things of this world, the things of the enemy might try to step in to rob us from our peace, Lord, that you, through your power and word, would protect the work of God in us, the peace of God in us, and that our minds, Lord, that they would be like a vault that is protected in this world, but Lord, a vault that is protected by your peace, that whatever circumstances may come, whatever circumstances may arise, God, we continue to have the peace of God that passes understanding. And may this next month, Lord, as it is filled with joy, as it is filled with peace, God, may it also be a month of internal transformation, as we recognize and understand, like we have never recognized and understood before, that your love was demonstrated through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, who did not have to but chose to come to this world in the form of a human and to die a sinner's death, Lord, so that we could be called the children of God. May the reality of Jesus, his life, his work, his death, his resurrection be more real to us than it has ever been before. And God, may we enter 2026 with a new found passion for your presence, for your word, and God, even a passion to tell others about the goodness of God. And Father, over your people, one last time, I pray that, Lord, that you would bless us and that you would protect us. God, I pray that you would smile on us and be gracious to us. That, Lord, you would show us your favor. And as we have already prayed, that you would continue to give us your peace. And we pray it all in the mighty name of Jesus. And all of God's people said amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord one more hand clap of praise? Amen, amen, amen. Lifehouse, you are loved and highly valued. I pray and hope you have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. And I cannot wait to see you right back here next week as we dive headfirst into our Christmas series. God bless you.